Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of TMCC Speciality Chemicals Limited, hosted by TIL Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the opening remarks. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Mehra from TIL Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Seema. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining this Q2 MH1 FY24 earnings conference call of TMCC Speciality Chemicals Limited. The investor updates have already been uploaded on the stock exchange, company website, and emailed to you. In case you do not have a copy of the same, please feel free to reach out to us. To take us through the discussion, we have with us from the management team, Mr. Bimal Gokuldas, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Sunil Goyal, Chief Finance Officer, and Mr. Omkar Mamunkar, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of the business and the financial performance in Q2 FY24, which will be followed by the Q&A session. I would like to remind you all that everything said in this call reflecting any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that the company faces. These risks and uncertainties have been mentioned in our annual report. With that said, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Bimal Gokuldas. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek, for that introduction. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for attending our investor conference call. I'd like to give you a brief update on the operations in the first half of this year as well as the quarter. As you've probably seen from the numbers, the top line looks lower compared to last year and lower compared to the previous quarter as well. And I will go into some of the reasons for this. So we had 77 crores of sales as compared to 86 in the previous quarter and 105 in the same quarter of the previous year. Similarly, there's a drop of about 56 crores if you compare to last half year, this year's half year versus last year's half year. A lot of these, the reduction is due to the reduction in prices. As I'm sure all of you are aware, last year was very high on the commodity pricing. Then there was a drop. Now, well, at least the good thing is that the prices are more stable than before, and they've not given us any shocks in this quarter. But since we need to pass on the changes in prices to our customers, especially the larger volume customers, you see a drop in the top line. So in terms of profits, we are slightly lower, about 1 crore, 30 lakhs lower than the previous quarter, but slightly better than last year. There's a difference of about 6 crores, but largely because in last year, the same quarter, there was a sudden drop in the commodity pricing, and we had to take a hit at that time. If you look at the 6 months results, we are about 1 crore and 15 lakhs better than last year. So, you know, we serve different sectors. You know, we have a commodity chemicals business, mainly sulfuric acid, oleums, chlorosulfonic acid. That is sold close to the factories. One of them is in Dahej in Gujarat and one in Roha in Maharashtra. And then based on that, we are making downstream products which go into a wide range of end users. So what we are seeing is that in some end users, the consumption is down substantially. So we have, for example, pigments, you know, is one of the end users, which was down last quarter, was down the previous year, but is now we are seeing signs of it reviving. similar situation for the dyes segment. But other sectors, particularly agrochemicals, we are seeing still a decline. And just like all of you, I'm also reading all the reports about the large agrochemical companies. And a lot of the performance is down because of lack of consumption, destocking, and other such factors which are really not in our control. We were expecting that, you know, this destocking cannot continue forever. And, for example, in agrochemicals, the end product is ultimately food. And I don't think anyone is eating less food. So the demand should come back. We don't know when it will come back. It's also connected to, the expiry date of a lot of the agrochemicals, because pesticides, insecticides have an expiry date. And then they, after that, they need to be brought back into to the manufacturing location and then reprocessed. So if they're reprocessing existing stock, they will not buy new raw material, which I also believe is a factor in the reduced demand in this area. China factor is also there. You know, the Chinese have become extremely aggressive on pricing, and their economy is down internally. So their consumption, and China is one of the largest chemical producers and consumers in the world. So when their consumption is down, it does mean that they have a lot more upstream or raw materials to put into world markets. And that has caused a glut in some areas. It's caused a little bit of, dumping. And right now, what I've given to understand from what I read in the press is that the Chinese government is focused on encouraging the manufacturing industry as against the construction industry, which they have been encouraging for the last many years. We all know what happened to the big construction companies in China. Several of them have gone bust. Others may also follow through. So the Chinese government has shifted focus to manufacturing once again. And I think if you look at some of the positives which I'd also like to share with you is that as a company we are focused on sustainability because we believe that in the long term that's the only way to go. And one of the main projects we had this year, which was commissioned sometime in August, was a power generating set based on steam from waste heat recovery. This was at Roha. So at Dahej and Roha now, we have reduced our dependence on the grid, reduced our carbon footprint further. And we are quite well placed. We hardly burn any fossil fuels in any case. We've also done is, we are continuing to do process development. We are looking at some products in different areas. One of them I mentioned was in automobile fluids, which we hope to see some commercialization either next quarter or following quarter. And cash flow-wise, if you've had a chance to look at the cash flow statement, we had a pretty healthy cash flow for this year for the first 6 months, almost 30 crores versus about 80 lakhs cash flow from operations. This has allowed us to, repay some of the loans and also invest in the CapEx projects as needed. So I think with that, I will hand it back to you, Abhishek, and I'm open to any questions.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We take the first question from the line of Anuj Mehra, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So thanks for the opportunity. So my I have a couple of questions. My first question is, more on the revenue side. Although you did, throw some color on the reasons of the drop in the revenue. But I particularly wanted to understand the drop that we have witnessed in terms of, drop because of the volumes and the realizations. Now, I understand you do not particularly get into, product-specific pricing, but even segment-wise should, give us some clarity because, these numbers are as good as, the pre-CAPEX numbers that we had looked at in September 2021. So if you can throw some light, that will be supremely helpful.
Sure. So very valid question. I can share some numbers with you on an overall basis. So we had a drop of about 60 crores due to pricing. And we had an increase of about 5 crores due to volume. What I'd also like to is you've asked the correct question because we made all the investments. So we had investments in two spaces. One of the investments was in, the sulfuric acid and allied plants, the upstream products, and then the downstream. So in terms of the sulfuric acid side, we are operating at a pretty good capacity, 90% plus, and things are quite fine on that. Of course, the commodity chemicals have a lower margin. And on the specialty side, where we've seen the large drop or in fact not achieved what we were supposed to achieve, is where we are feeling the pinch. And that's, consequent to what we are seeing globally in terms of, slower markets.
Fair enough. So just a follow-up question there. Do you also think that in terms of price volatility, you've looked at the rock bottom prices, or do we still see more pain?
So we can't predict that. We don't know what the Chinese will do. According to us, they are already at or near zero margin levels. But, they get pretty good subsidies from their government. If their Chinese government decides, they're getting between 12 to 14% export subsidy. So if that continues, they can continue to operate at zero margins and just take that. So hard to predict how far and how low they will go. But if you compare to any free market economy, then we are at the bottom.
Understood. So, sir, my second question was just directed towards the industry scenario as you started commenting. I believe in the last 5 to 6 or even 7 years, the entire industry and even us, we've done a lot of capex, and a lot of that capex that we are looking at has started backfiring. There have been demand issues. Earlier there were inventory issues as well, destocking you mentioned rightly. And now, you know, again, we are hearing about Chinese dumping, and I wanted to ask you this question also because since you've been the, you know, president of ICC in the past, so, you know, and you've made a lot of representations, so, you know, is the body actually addressing any issues, or are there going to be any steps, anti-dumping duties, so on and so forth, that we can look forward to protect or safeguard the interest of, you know, domestic manufacturers?
So again, good question. ICC has raised a lot of issues, not only, we don't go product-wise, you know, the product-wise would be the job of individual companies, but we can represent in general to the government, and we do. What we are seeing is, in the past couple of years, there have been several macro issues. First, you had, of course, COVID. Everybody panicked. Everyone built up stock of everything. And then the demand didn't come through, so there was destocking. This Europe war has also made Europe a completely dead place as far as consumption is concerned, because their energy costs have become absurd. Even now, they are much higher than pre-COVID days, and which makes European manufacturing itself almost unviable without some kind of protection. Now, the resultant increase in inflation in India because of tightening of money elsewhere, for example, U.S. dollar, in the U.S., the interest rates are at really high levels. So that means more money flows into the U.S. You know, India has to increase interest rates to control inflation. And unfortunately, and we can't comment on that, but the government is focused on reining in inflation. So there have been several cases where, you know, the DGTR has actually recommended anti-dumping, but the finance ministry has knocked it down. Although there is no outgo required from finance, they are trying to protect the inflation rate. So as we see the inflation rate cooling off, and it has started to cool off, and we'll see some easing of the monetary policy, we hope that you know, the Indian government also will give some semblance of protection. You know, we get almost no export benefits, zero in fact. We don't even get back some of the taxes that we pay. We are exporting taxes. The ICC has taken it up at all levels, and it has been partially compensated but not fully. And to compete with a major producer like China, who actually gets export subsidies, is not very easy. So we are representing, but I can't say we've had the desired success.
Understood, understood. But right there, sir, one last question. So this, you know, the numbers that we are looking at, and again, and my question is going to be at a broad level, not at, you know, product specific level, but it seems that we've lost our pricing power, and seems to be like a, you know, commodity chemicals business right now. Is this purely, this doesn't seem to be purely because, you know, demand has been an issue, because you just mentioned volumes have been rising. So what should we understand? Is it because, like, for the last 5-6 years, there were pollution issues in China, and hence we were looking at good margins and a good demand, or are there any other reasons?
So clarify, pricing issue is one thing which can affect your margin, but in the volume terms, we are not losing market because of pricing. The way our company is positioned, that whatever products we are in, we are amongst the lowest cost producers. We are backward integrated more so, or at least as much so as our competition, whether it's domestic or international. We've got our own sources of, you know, energy, including steam and power now. So, you know, we are not, you know, we are not inefficient as compared to anybody. And in the specialty chemicals that we make, we are a major global producer. So we have the scale as well. So we have the scale, we have the backward integration. So that's not an issue. The main issue is, in fact, the volume. And the way we've made investments over the past few years, you know, we have the capacity that as and when the demand comes, we will be there to supply. So it's not that we've lost market share because of price. I just wanted to clarify that.
Understood, sir. Understood. Fair enough. So that is all from my end, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Parth Agarwal from Bastion Research. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my question...
Speak a little louder, please.
Sure. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Okay. So my question is, you know, regarding the current operating environment. So you have been in this business for decades, and I'm sure you have seen a lot of cycles play out. And I just wanted to get your perspective on this downturn, as to how you are seeing this one. I'm asking this because, you know, this time around, then you know, the entire industry is in the bad shape, and it has not been, you know, restricted to any particular part of the industry. Also, you know, we are hearing that obviously there are, you know, demand side issues, then China supply issues, and then geopolitical scenario that is you know, played out. So everything seems to have, you know, coincided at a point in time. And so just from the industry standpoint, where are you, so how are you tackling this situation, and, you know, do you see this ending in the near term, or at least do you see things bottoming out from here?
So yes, you know, to give you a very quick answer, that we surely expect it to come back, and there are several reasons for it. You know, that India is the only place outside of China where you can get a substantial quality and quantity of not only chemicals, but also the manpower and the equipment needed to make those chemicals. You know, so India will grow, the chemical industry. But more than that, Indian consumption also will grow. You know, if you, you know, today if you travel anywhere in the world, you will see all, everybody is depressed, and, you know, it's very negative sentiment, Europe particularly, that energy cost and, you know, immigration crisis and all these things have caused a lot of headaches for them. And everything is negative. If you look at India, by contrast, everyone is positive. Chemical industry may not be going through a good phase right now, but look at other industries. So that will lead to better consumption, that will lead to, you know, you can't make anything without chemicals. So whether it is, you know, construction of buildings, whether it's construction of roads, or you know, even the fabrics and clothes that we wear, there's nothing you can do without chemicals. So I believe firmly that in the long term, chemical industry will be positive. And it's connected to India's growth, as well as connected to India's geopolitical position. You know, so we are, you know, we are considered a reliable partner. We are considered a sizable partner. And it's just a question of the whole, you know, scenario changing globally, which will result in not only DMCC, but all other companies which have made investments and are continuing to make investments. We'll see the upside. I can't predict when, but on the whole, I don't think there is any better alternative to China than India in terms of chemicals.
Okay, fair point. I have just a couple of more questions. So one on the investment side, you mentioned that you've made an investment in waste heat recovery system, and so just wanted to understand the sort of investments that you have made, and the resultant cost savings that we expect from this investment?
So this is connected to more efficient turbines. So it's a several investments. First, we made investments to increase our steam generation from our sulfuric acid plants. Some time ago, a few years ago, we were generating about 1 ton of steam per ton of sulfuric acid. Now it's close to 1.3. So we also then, to consume that steam, you know, we step it down from high pressure to low pressure, and we're generating power. So we've invested in a more efficient power generation set. It's not very big. The last investment was not very big. It was, you know, under, you know, 15 crores or so total. And we expect a payback of 2-3 years on that. But it's not the only investment. This investment we made over a period of time, overall in sustainability.
Okay. Just a final question from my side. So, you know, after a long time, we are hearing about a new product on the boron side. And so the situation finally improved on the boron side of the business, and can you, you know, talk a bit more about the product, maybe the opportunity size and the margin profile of the new product that has been introduced?
So on the boron side, the supply situation has surely improved, you know, and we expect to grow from here. I don't like to give very forward-looking statements, especially for new products. But I can say that the potential for the product we are looking at is several thousand tons even within India, and it's an import substitute product. But again, how much share we get of that and when we get it will depend on customer approvals.
And any color on the margin profile, is it better than the current?
It will be a specialty chemical margin.
Okay. Thank you so much, and best of luck for the future quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to join the question queue may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Jeevan Patwa from Sahasar Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Vimal. So one question is on the boron side. So have we taken the decision to invest in the technical boron acid plant?
So we've done some debottlenecking. No major investment, but as I said, now we have no issue on the supply side.
Okay, and for these three products that we are talking, so which is the area where these products will go, the end user?
So one of them is in the final end use is in cosmetics. One of them is in automotive fluids. And the other one is a pharma intermediate product.
Okay, and this is mostly this will be the domestic.
Yes, we are not targeting these for exports as domestic markets.
Perfect. And whatever capex we have done on the specialty side, so that was for specific products for specific clients, right? So basically, you are saying the demand from the client is not picking up. Whenever the demand from the client will pick up, we will have the delivery from those plants.
Exactly. We've already made the investments. You know, we've been making investments over the last 2-3 years. And we don't need to make any further investments for those products which we were planning, you know. So if, as and when the demand comes back, we will be able to supply right away.
Correct. And can this plant, so these plants are multi-purpose plants, so can this plant be used for some other purpose, or can we utilize this capacity for some other purpose?
So in fact, all are not the multi-purpose, you know, one particularly was dedicated. But yes, for example, if we develop these, if the market for these new products develops that I just discussed, we won't need any significant capex.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Aman Vij from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. My first question is on the three new products. So if you can talk about what is the combined market size of these three new products in India as of now, and how many other players already make these products?
So the total market is of the order of about 200 crores. We don't know exactly, but none of it is made in India. So it's largely imports, and that's what we are targeting.
Sure, sir. And when do you see the impact of sales of these new products? Is it coming online in H2, all of them, or when do we see a good contribution of these products to our top line?
So, Aman, you know better than to ask me a forward-looking question, but I will surely keep the shareholders informed as these things develop.
Okay, but have you launched all three products, or it will be done over the next few quarters?
Yes, we have had commercial, trial commercial quantities sent out.
Of all three?
Yes.
Sure, sir. My next question is on the, you talked about the we are running at almost peak utilization in our commodity business, but what is the current utilization in specialty business?
It's about 50%.
And at the peak, what was it, say, a few quarters back, we used to do 60, 70 crore sales in specialty. So what was the utilization at that?
So, you know, we expanded the plant. So you can't, it's not comparing apples to apples. At one time, we were running at about, you know, close to 80-90% for some of the products, which is why we made the investment. But then the market has not picked up. Market has gone down, in fact.
So if you can talk about what has been the realization fall in our specialty product basket.
Yes. I mentioned that as an overall picture, the realization drop has been almost 60 crores.
If you can talk about, say, X was the realization a few quarters back, what it is today? Is it like 30% down, 50% down?
I won't know that offhand, but it's substantially down.
You're talking both, also in specialty, it is substantially down?
Yes. In specialty, the issue is not of the, you know, the margins and things like that. The issue for us, as I mentioned, is more that the demand itself is down. So, you know, the commodities are largely affected by the change in, you know, the pricing. Raw materials change immediately. You have to pass on the price. Commodities, the specialties are more gradual and more more structured in terms of variation. But the volume loss is what is hurting us, or rather the absence of volume gain that we were expecting when we made the investment.
Sure. Just to understand this point a little more in detail. So, for example, if, say, commodity products have a drop in pricing of, say, around 50%, how does it impact our specialty margins?
No, there is no connection like that.
Okay, so is it safe to assume that specialty margins are linked to basically volumes and the utilization of the plant
yes,
more
the
compared to...
Absolute margins are surely linked to that, and to some extent even, you know, the you know, in terms of the total EBITDA, you know, how many crores I would make is surely dependent on the volumes. We can't let go of the people. We have to have, you know, some equipment keeps running whether you are producing 10 or 20. So it's, you know, it's not something which you can directly switch on and off.
Sure, sir. Is there any impact of Chinese dumping in our top three specialty products as well?
as I said before, the bigger problem for us, there is some impact, but I feel the bigger impact, a much bigger impact, is of the lack of volume. That's my burning problem today.
And sir, for example, in specialty products in other companies, they get some kind of, because these are very niche products, they get some visibility from their customers in terms of where they are thinking about procurement and all those things. So do we have like 6 months forward visibility or a year forward visibility? My question is basically when, so it's difficult to predict when things will change, but sometimes the customers themselves tell you, okay, maybe 6 months down the line, they are expecting things to go back. So I was just trying to indicate, have we gotten an indication from our customers?
So the only thing they have told us is that for, you know, up to the end of 23, they have muted demand. They haven't given an idea of what next after that.
Okay, so January onwards, we might get an update, say, in next 2-3 months, what kind of demand can happen.
Putting words in my mouth, I said up to December, it's not going to be good. After that, I don't know if it will be good or bad.
Sure, sir. Just one question on the balance sheet as well. So there was this fall in some of the regular costs like employee cost and power cost. So if you can talk about what was the reason in fall of these costs.
So one of the things is, of course, that, you know, last year the freight was very high. So anything connected to ocean freight would be much lower this year. In terms of power and fuel, I already mentioned that, you know, during the last quarter we commissioned our own power generation set. Some effect is seen in these numbers, but the larger effect will be seen in coming quarters. And we had good operating cash flows, which we used to pay down some of the loans. So our finance cost has come down compared to the previous quarter, although it's higher than the previous year. These things, you know, they are, that's largely some of the things which have reduced.
And for employee cost, on that part,
employee cost would only be probably bonuses and all that which has come down. There's no real change of this in terms of absolute numbers of people.
Sure, sir. My next question is on the R&D side. If you can talk about the number of people we currently have, and if you can talk about our plans of addition, as well as what is the average age of our R&D team?
So average age, I wouldn't know, but we have, I can say in general that we have done a positive trend in the sense we've reduced our average age, but I don't have an absolute number for you. We continue to invest. We haven't increased our team in this year, but we have, you know, 20 to 25 people working on R&D at any time.
Sure, sir. On the commodity side, sir, some of our peers who are into the sulfuric acid chemistry reported very decent margins and numbers this quarter. So I understand it might be regional thing, but I was expecting the margins in the commodity side to improve a lot. So if you can talk about the same.
No, it hasn't been good. In fact, for us, we've seen margin pressure on the commodity side.
Sure. So does it happen that some players who are into that same sulfuric acid chemistry report good margins and others are reporting, say, losses or break-even? Does it happen often?
It is location-wise. I'm not sure which areas you're referring to where there's good margins on sulfuric acid, but according to me, at least on the western side of India, there was no such thing.
Sure, sir. My final question is on boron side. What is the utilization are we currently running at?
So, again, you know, the availability has increased of the raw material. We've done a debottlenecking exercise. And, again, we have several products in boron. So, some of the specialties, we have better realization. One of the products which goes into agriculture was not very good because, you know, it was something to do with the rain. But on the whole, I would say we are around 60% or so, but that's a rough number.
And with the new product introduction, and you are talking about some more traction, you think this can keep inching higher?
It will go. There's no question.
Sure, sir. These are my questions for now.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Jain from Astute. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. I hope I'm audible.
Get your name.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. This is Saurabh Jain from Astute Investment.
Yeah, hi, sir.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I hope you can hear me clearly.
Yes.
Sir, just continuing with the previous participants' questions, you know, I just wanted to understand, so other expenses in this quarter is about 11 crores versus 14 crores in the same quarter last year. And any reason for this or?
Mainly logistics. Mainly logistics.
Okay. And you know, just I wanted to clarify this that, you know, again, you know, the sulfuric acid price, which is a commodity, moves from 5 rupees to 15 rupees a kg or even down. But, you know, are the specialty product prices also that volatile? I mean, they can be 3x, 1/3x. And just to give you perspective, like, say, if the sulfuric acid price from 10 rupees becomes 5 rupees, so it's gone down by 50%. Does the specialty product price also vary by that much?
No, not that much. The only time it was varying substantially and was, you know, during that COVID time when there was so much fluctuation both ways. So,
right.
But again, the variation is not like this.
Right. And just, you know, with the historical context only of the last couple of years, you know, so sulfuric acid price can be 100 and become 300. I'm just giving as an index. But the commodity, the specialty products, what kind of range might they move in?
So the way we work with our large customers is also on a formula. But in the specialties, the raw material component is a small percentage of the selling price compared to sulfuric acid. So the fluctuation, even if there is fluctuation in the commodities, there would not be such a fluctuation in the specialties. And so there's not an accurate range I can give you, but, you know, what we like to do with all our large customers is, you know, have a pass-through mechanism and formula pricing based on the raw materials.
Sure. Because where I'm coming from is actually, you know, typically, if it's a specialty product, you know, even with the change in, you know, the prices of the commodity chemical, typically there is not a very big, you know, change in those finished product prices, is what I understand.
Depends. It depends on how it's structured, how much of a specialty, what is the competition. So, you know, we'd rather, our position is that when we're talking about specialties which have some performance built into them and all that, we don't want to either make money or lose money, and neither do our customers want to, on variation in very basic inputs. You know, so we'd rather keep that aside and focus on the delta which we provide, and which is fair and which is agreed with the customers, and that's the best way to continue instead of, you know, doing a lottery type of situation. And if you know, sometimes try to jack it up, you encourage competition. If you keep it too low, then you're underselling yourself. So you have to, according to me, the right way for those customers who have regular business is to have a formula.
Oh, sure. And just the last one or two questions, you know, So on the new products, we talked about these three new products, and in the past you have sort of alluded to that, typically the margins of the newer things that you do may be better, and you had actually given us a percentage also, but any sense that you have, for these new products, what could be the margins and profitability?
Yeah, the same as I mentioned before, we don't work less than that for the specialty. Today, our problem is not the percentage margins, it's really the volume of the specialties.
And if I can just put a number to it, that, I think we've spoken about on the new products, 20 to 30% PBT margin also.
Yes.
So obviously, and more like a 30%, but obviously the environment has changed a lot since then. But are we still targeting those kind of margins on these new products, or might we need to tone that down?
No, not at all. I think those are for the kind of effort you need to do in R&D, market development, all that. I think if it's less than that, you should not work on it.
So you're saying even a 30% PBT margin is a possibility? I mean, obviously, a lot of things need to pan out.
Yes.
Okay. And these are primarily import substitute products, so you don't really have any manufacturers in India doing this, or they might be doing it at a...
No.
Okay. Got it. And one is boron linked, and the other two are sulfur based.
Yes.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you, and season greetings.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Bimal Gokuldas for closing comments.
Thank you, Seema. I'd like to, thank you all for taking the time to attend. I know there are many conferences today, so I appreciate the questions. I appreciate the feedback. And I think, I'd also like to say that as management, we also learn something from this, from the way you all are asking the question. We learn to understand you better. We learn to question ourselves better. And, I'm always in favor of these type of questions, which have been very to the point and very incisive. I also like to take this opportunity to wish you all and your families, happy Diwali and a healthy and prosperous and safe New Year, and wishing you all the best, and we'll be in touch again. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of DMCC Speciality Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.